yesterday's prophecies for today's world.
Just remember that this is a time when we all have to be bold and share the simple gospel of Jesus Christ with people.
And now, Hal Lindsey presents the Bible Prophecy Series, The Coming of the Last World Superpower.
All right, we are going to talk about the two great personalities that I believe are alive in the world today. We don't know who they are, and I doubt if they knew who they are yet. But there are two personalities, the Bible tells us, are going to be the key to the whole world's coming government and disaster. The Antichrist and the false prophet. Let's look at Revelation chapter 13. We're talking about, in a series, about the world's great Gentile superpowers that Daniel predicted would come. We're now talking about the last and final form of the world superpower that he predicted would come. It's the Roman Empire phase two that we're talking about, because it predicted the fourth kingdom would be a great and powerful kingdom. It would disappear from power for a while, go into a mystery form, but just before Christ would come back to the earth and set up the kingdom of God, this second form of the Roman Empire would be revived in the form of a 10-nation confederacy. But it will not become a superpower until the Antichrist comes and takes it over. He will put it into a superpower immediately. All right, Revelation chapter 13, we begin with verse 1. And he stood on the sand of the seashore, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like those of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. All right, now, if you'll look at Revelation 12, verse 9, we can remove all doubt about what the symbol of the dragon is. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. So the dragon is simply a symbol of Satan. Now, it says that this beast comes out of the sea, and the beast has 7 heads and 10 horns. And it'll explain in a moment what that means. The 10 horns correspond to the 10 toes of the great statue that Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 7. And Daniel chapter 2. And they are the final form of the Roman Empire. They stand for 10 nations. Now, it says that this beast, the dragon, gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Now, this is a person that we should tremble at the thought that he's here. He has not been given the great authority that it predicts here yet, but I believe he's alive somewhere in Europe right now. Not here in America, he's in Europe. Because Daniel's prophecy in chapter 9 of Daniel tells us he is the prince of the people who shall come. I should say he is of the people that destroyed Jerusalem. He is the prince, the people of the prince who shall come, it says, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. In 70 AD, the Roman 10th Legion, under the command of Titus of Rome, destroyed the city and the temple. Now it says that there's a prince going to come out of them in the latter times that will emerge, and he will make a covenant with the Jewish people for 7 years, a covenant that guarantees their protection. So the coming prince of Rome is the Antichrist. Now, that is the one that is predicted in the first 10 verses of Revelation chapter 13. Now, going back, the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Can you imagine one man being given all of the powers of Satan? That's what this is saying. And it is Satan who is going to put him in the place of power to rule. He is going to bring this man to power. And then he's going to give him all of his authority. There's a difference between power and authority. Do you know that? I had that graphically demonstrated to me in Mexico City one time when I was studying under a great theologian, Dr. Hegel. And we were walking along the Reforma, and we came to one of those big gloriettas on the Reforma, the big boulevard that goes through the center of Mexico City. And those gloriettas, those big circles that go around, is kind of a semi-controlled chaos. I mean, you know, you've got about 10 lanes of traffic all racing around a circle and trying to get this way and that way and everything else. And they have this particular one, they had a policeman there, had big white gloves on. He was standing on a pedestal in the center there on that thing. And when he felt it necessary, he would blow his whistle and hold up that white glove. And you have never heard such screeching and jamming on of brakes and everything else in your life. I mean, pandemonium came to an abrupt stop. Well, why? It was just one man out there. He didn't have the physical power to stop all of those cars and trucks and buses and everything else. Ah, but all of the power of Mexico stood behind that raised hand. See, that's authority. You and I have authority of Jesus Christ because we're seated on the throne with him, Ephesians chapter 2 says. And it says that we have the authority delegated to us of Jesus Christ when we are walking in him in fellowship, depending upon the Holy Spirit. And all the demons of hell have to stop when a believer who is depending on Christ and in his purpose says, that's it. Isn't that wonderful? But on the other hand, Satan has great power and authority too. And this man is going to be given the authority of Satan, and that is great. And this is going to be a time when God has removed the restraints he usually has on man. I am thankful that no believer will be here when that takes place. Now, it says that he is coming with that, and it says, verse 3, I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after him. Now, you see, it is the healing of this fatal wound that apparently Satan is going to use to get the world to just immediately accept this person. And the world is going to accept him as the leader. And it will be a legitimate raising this man back to life from a fatal wound. And once that happens, he's going to be catapulted into world power, his throne. And it says in verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon. This immediately turns the whole world into Satan worshipers. You've got to connect what the dragon means. The dragon is Satan. The whole world in this man, they're going to become Satan worshipers. Now, the point is, they don't know that's exactly what they're doing. But in fact, that's what they are doing. They worship this man whom Satan controls. Because Satan gave his authority to the beast, which is the Antichrist. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to wage war with him? It shows the world is afraid of war. And the fact this man claims he can stop it causes them to worship him even more. And there was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant or great things and blasphemies. An authority to act for 42 months was given to him. He has authority to have unbridled action for 42 months. That's 3.5 years. So that's the first half of the 7-year period called the tribulation. That's the first half of the allotted 7 years that Daniel in chapter 9 predicted would be given to Israel to finally fulfill what God had created them to do. So he's going to have 42 months to act. And it says he opens his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle. That is those who dwell in heaven. Well, those who dwell in heaven at this time in God's house, tabernacle is his house. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. That means everyone. This is the first superpower that truly does rule the whole world. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of the life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with a sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. This is one time, during this time, where God says to the believer, you're not to try to defend yourself. You stand for me, you stand in your faith in me to the end and take the consequences. It's not going to be easy to be a believer in the tribulation. Now, there are going to be millions that come to Christ after we're taken out of here. 144,000 Jewish Billy Grahams are going to see to that. And, the book of Revelation says even angels are going to preach the gospel out of heaven to the people on the earth in the last few weeks of the tribulation. But it's going to be tough to be a believer then because you're going to lose your life. Most will lose their life. Now, we go now to the second part of this. This is the second great personality of the coming period known as the 7-year tribulation. Verse 11, I saw another beast coming up out of not the earth, but the word tasgeis in Greek means the land. And it is used technically in the book of Revelation to refer to the land of Israel, God's land. So this second beast comes up out of Israel. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. All right, it shows that on the surface, he really appears to be a Messiah. He has the two horns like a lamb. So on the surface, he has every mark of being the Messiah that they've been looking for, the world's been looking for. But to those who know the word of God, he speaks like Satan, the dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast. The first beast is the Roman dictator, the Antichrist. This one is called the false prophet. Now, he exercises, though, all of the authority of the first beast in his presence, and that means under his supervision. This second Antichrist, they're both Antichrist, this second Antichrist has all the authority that Satan gave to the Roman dictator, but it's under the supervision of the Roman dictator, the first beast. Are you following me? I hope so. It's kind of tedious, but it's all there. And there are four things that it says he uses this authority to do in the rest of this chapter. Four things. First, with the authority that he gets delegated to him from Satan, it says, with that authority, he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. Now, there are two groups here. In the original Greek, it's a lot more clear. First, he makes not the earth. It's the same word, tasgeis, in Greek. He makes the land worship the first beast. And also, he makes those who dwell, literally, he makes those who dwell in the earth to worship the first beast. So I believe that those who dwell in it, it's referring to the rest of the world. He makes both Israel and the whole earth worship the first beast, the Roman dictator, whose fatal wound was healed. And he keeps pointing to the miracle of the resurrection, or resuscitation, I think it is, of this man that was fatally wounded. That's the first thing he uses it for. Now, the second, and he performs great signs. And then there are two illustrations of the great signs. The Simeon Megala in Greek. Great signs refers to a large number of spectacular miracles. And these are not sleight of hand things. These are real miracles that he's going to be enabled to perform. And then there are two illustrations of some of those great miracles that are given at the end here. It is this. It says, so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. So that's number one. Now, he's imitating a prophet of the Old Testament here, isn't he? Who is that? Elijah. Elijah caused fire to come down from heaven when he was defying the prophets of Baal. Now, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs, these are miraculous signs, which was given him to perform in the presence of the beast. Or this literally means under the supervision of this first Antichrist, the Roman one. And it says, which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come back to life. You see, it keeps bringing up that miracle because that's the greatest miracle that men can conceive, of life being brought back from the dead. And God's taking away all restraints, and he allows Satan to do what he has the power to do. So he points that and he says, we need to make an image of the Roman Antichrist, and everyone needs to worship that. Now, here's another thing that's given him to do. And there was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast might even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So he is able to make animate something that is inanimate. He is able to make this image to think, to speak, and to act with human intelligence. Now, how in the world does he do that? Well, computers can do a lot of it already, but I don't believe that's how he's going to do it. Demons will animate it and make it able to move and to speak and to think. Demons can possess human beings. They can also possess something inanimate and make it animate. Now, here's the final great act that he's given power to do. He causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one shall be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man. His number is 666. There is a progression here. First, authority is given to him to cause everyone to worship the Roman Antichrist. And in order to prove who worships the Antichrist, he is given power to cause everyone to receive a mark, which is the number, the numeric equivalent of the words or the letters of the beast's name. Now, once you have that placed as a mark on either your hand or your forehead, then you can buy and sell, have a job. But the progression is clearly this: you can't get the mark unless you worship the beast. Now, the book of Revelation is very clear. If anyone receives this mark, he is condemned to hell forever. There is no repentance from that. And the reason is because to get the mark, you have to worship Satan. And people know enough that they're making that choice. And that can't ever be reversed. Now you can see why he is doing this and causing this to be done, because he's going to expose every person who doesn't worship the beast. And the one who rejects receiving or worshiping the beast will not get the mark, and he will be exposed and put to death. There'll be some that'll get by, because there'll still be some survive the tribulation to repopulate the earth when Jesus sets up a new kingdom here. But this is a very clever way of exposing who's a believer and who's not, because only a believer in Jesus Christ would have the conviction to turn down that mark. Now, it says that the mark is, literally in the Greek, it says it is the name of the beast or its number, meaning it's the number, the numerical value of the Antichrist's name. Now you see, when this was written, they didn't have a numerical system. They didn't have Arabic numerals. Numbers were given by letters of the alphabet. So every every letter in the Greek alphabet and the Hebrew alphabet, but in this case it would be Greek because this was originally written in Greek, every letter has a numerical value. So you can take a person's name and you can get a numerical value. Well, whoever the Antichrist will be, he will have the numerical value in his name of 666. Don't be freaked out about 666. This taking of the mark and all of that only becomes important when you are required to worship the Antichrist in order to get it. You know, you can have 666 written all over your forehead and everything else, like some idiots I know did. And, you know, they just want to defy God and all of that. Well, that doesn't mean anything. They can still be saved. God will have to wash them out, but, you know, he does that with all of us. But that's not the point. The point is when it is given as a result of you swearing allegiance and worshiping the Antichrist. And that will happen during the first part of the tribulation. Thank God, a believer in Jesus Christ can't receive it. You can't undo your faith in Christ and receive that thing. Because if you're a Christian, you know you can't worship Satan. You got to go to the grave with it. But the best news of all is you ain't going to be here.
Join us next week for Hal Lindsey, the Bible Prophecy Series, The Coming of the Last World Superpower.
But when you really get a grip on the fact that Jesus so saves you, when you simply admit your sins and receive the gift of pardon, that you are already in heaven as far as he's concerned. Thank you so much for standing with me as a watchman on the wall. I pray daily that he will reward your faithfulness and protect and prosper you in these difficult times. Thank you again for being a vital part of my team.
You can find more of Hal Lindsey at his website, www.hallindsey.com. There you can access our video and article archives. Visit our online store for Hal Lindsey CDs, books, and other specialty items. Hal Lindsey's comprehensive teaching on the Gospel of John is now available as an audiobook. This incredible teaching will enrich your personal study of the Book of John and enhance your understanding of the nature and character of Jesus Christ. To support this program, send your tax-deductible gift to Hal Lindsey Media Ministries, P.O. Box 470-470, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74147. You can also support this ministry online. Visit HalLindsey.com or call 1-888-RAPTURE.